Yes! As you can see, I'm disheveled today. I have the hat. And I'm 7 minutes late, which is the latest we've been since we started this thing a whole whopping week ago. What is this, episode 6? I think it is. Math skills are terrible. You've known that for watching and listening all these years. John Lund, formerly of KNBR, thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday. The reason I'm late, and it's like talking to a teacher probably. Johnny, why are you late? Well, you know, no excuse will suffice. You were here at 8 o'clock. You were on time. You had your coffee. You had your bagel. You had whatever you're eating for breakfast. By the way, what are you having for breakfast? What are you having for breakfast? Lately, I've been doing the carbs, and you shouldn't be doing the carbs, but bagels have been really good lately. Bagel sandwich. But the reason I'm late, not that it's enough of an excuse, but the reason I'm late is because there was so much going on today. And I'm very visual. I like to play videos, and I like to have pretty pictures and things like that to show you, not just me sitting here going blah, 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 and you going, dude, you're killing my senses here. Could you give us something? Could we hear someone else's voice? I'll give you a social media update in just a second, but there's all sorts of trade rumors when it comes to the and moves as far as the deals going down at the baseball winter meetings. And then you got some Warriors stuff. And then Krug and I was on the Krug show last night, if you checked it out. And Larry Kruger's a great guy and has really done a great job on YouTube. But him and I got into a conversation. I'm going to lead with that today that has to do with Brock Purdy. And then something I saw, because yesterday, remember I told you, everybody in New York's like, who would want to leave the Yankees? That's crazy. And so Mad Dog is probably most symbolic of that, so I have that for you today. And then just some great caboose stuff, like Bill Belichick and how creepy he is with that girlfriend of his, and Ryan Williams, if you're into college football. And again, I like lots of feedback, so if you're like, Lund, just like on KNBR, we don't really talk college football, we don't need to talk about it. There's just one cool story, or interesting story, I should say. And then we got a caboose story today about a guy driving his car through a dealership window because he was dissatisfied, so I'll play that for you. So I was just trying to get all the video and the pictures and to make it nice and pretty and cool. And I know that that doesn't make an excuse for you to have to sit here for 7 minutes, but I just explained myself and now we're 10 minutes in and I still don't have anything for you. I haven't given you any kind of sports news, but give me 60 seconds. I've always got to do the social media stuff. Remember, we got to talk about that. So at John Lund Radio and all sorts of social media places. If you go to at John Lund Radio, then you can see all the places I'm on social media. Not to confuse you, but they tell you that you got to be everywhere. So I opened up a bunch of new ones. I usually mostly am on Twitter. So at John Lund Radio on Twitter. The podcast, of course, is just like it is here on the YouTube channel. At John Lund Unleashed Pod. At John Lund Unleashed Pod. And I would be remiss if I did not say this. I know it's a small milestone for some because there are people on YouTube with millions and millions and millions of followers. But I just started this actually a week ago today. We started last Tuesday and we're over. And I say we because you're part of our community here and I really appreciate you tuning in every single weekday. We're over 1,000 followers, which again, to a lot of people is nothing. But to do it in a week and have you be a part of it and tuning in every day and telling all your friends and listening to the podcast and watching back the clips and doing all these different things and hanging out last Saturday when Willie Adames was signing. We had a great time and we're drinking whiskey and having fun. It's just really cool. And I couldn't be enjoying myself more, but it's a community that I'm trying to build here and relationships I'm trying to build with listeners and viewers and everything else from all over, not only the Bay Area, but the country and the world. And it's just really cool that we got to 1,000 in less than a week. I think it's cool. But what the hell do I know? But anyway, there is your social media channels. Thanks for getting us to 1,000 in a week. Make sure you tell all your friends. And again, at John Lund Radio is the best way to interact with me anytime. I've got it up right in front of me now so we can discuss anything that you would like to discuss. And I always say before we get started, and then this is the last thing I'll say about it, is I love feedback, especially on the show. If it's a topic you want to discuss, if it's a guest that you want to have on the show, anything like that, I am open to all of it. I try to get back to as many people as I can. If you send me a note, I absolutely will get back to you. I appreciate you, like I said, being here. So it really cool. I really appreciate it. I will always get back to you. And a big part of the feedback, too, is what do you like to see on the show? Do you like more videos? Do you like pictures? Do you like that I'm throwing all this stuff out there? We will get to the guests, I promise you. I just want to, like I said, connect with you for a little bit. And then I got all sorts of great stuff that is lined up to get other people's voices and opinions and so forth. But I also want to know your feedback on the show. You know, do you, like, I'm going to play some stuff today that, you know, probably on KNBR I wouldn't, but I think is just intriguing. You know, and it's great to have this forum where I don't have to shove certain things down your throat every day. If there's no Niners, that's a really compelling topic to me. I don't have to sit here and say it. Now, when I was on the flagship, I probably did. You know, if it was a Giants game, I probably had to talk about it. If there was nothing compelling, and I think about it kind of like Andrew Baggerly. He's a friend of mine, and Bags does a great job writing for the Giants. But earlier in his career, he had to write game stories every single day. Another game story, another game story, another game story. And now, you know, he just writes what's compelling. You know, if there's something that comes out of a game, he doesn't have to tell you about the game. You've got a box score in front of you. You have a box score on your phone. You know what's going on. And so he just writes the things that are compelling. And that's what I try to do. I try to come in here every single day and find things, whether they're locally, nationally, in or out of sports, you know, just that's compelling for the demographic that I think I'm going for. And I think that that's the way to go. If you think that's crazy, cool. I love the feedback. It's not, like I said, it's not me going, this is what we're going to do, because I'll be off YouTube fast if I do that. So it's about the feedback, and it's about what you want to see, what you want to hear, what's compelling to you. And hopefully I can deliver that every single day, 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, clips throughout the day, chats at night. We're going to be bringing people in. So anyway, enough about the show. Let's get going to lots of things. Let me get out to the, I love to get out to the text, or not the text, but people who are in here and they've been waiting and they've been hanging out. So let's see, hyperventilating. Believe me, I'm not quitting here. Hey, yo, what's going on? I like that. Let's see, GM Lunsters, good morning. We're here on time. I agree with you, Jeff. That's unacceptable of me. Even if it was an excuse of, you know, I'm trying to get more content for you, that's still a poor excuse, and I agree with you 100%. Maybe if I am late, maybe there has to be ramifications. You know what I mean? You can give me some suggestions on that, because just me coming in, especially today, 7 minutes is completely unacceptable. And so if I was in school or something, I walked in, you know, 7 minutes late, the clock on the wall right there, Mr. Hound, and I was late, you know, there would be ramifications, and maybe I'd have to go to the office, or maybe, you know, I can't be late 7 minutes to my radio show, even though when Tolbert was picking up beer back in the day, I'd start the show and I'd have to do 7 minutes on my own, which is no big deal. But you're right. It's, you know, there needs to be some ramifications if I'm late. So let's figure it out. Maybe you have a suggestion on what I should be doing. But good morning, John. Top of the morning, two joints for breakfast. That's what Lex is having this morning. I'm not judging you, man. Philip says, hi, John. How you doing? Hi, Philip. Good morning. Glad that you stopped by. Please make sure you do it early and often. Let's see. No, I wasn't smoking anything like that. Michael, good morning. J. Cruz 75, more cat videos, always a winner. You might be right. Oh, tacky. If you're late, you have to eat a spoonful of hot sauce. That ain't bad. There's my guy, Walter, who, by the way, Walter has a new podcast out, a new baseball podcast. Walter, if you hit me with it, I'll promote it, because Walter's the best. He's my former producer at KNBR, and he's absolutely phenomenal. Hot sauce isn't a bad idea. Somebody's saying a shot for every minute I'm late. I've put this up before. Jeez, it sounds like a lot of bottles down there. I don't have a problem with alcohol. But maybe that's a thought. There are no bad ideas. We're just brainstorming, spitballing around here. Not too bad. Hey, bud, what's your problem? Exactly. I'm glad somebody got that. Send us all DoorDash. HR, that's, you know what, HR? See, it's something that benefits you. So that's not bad, man. That's not a bad idea. Jacob says, if you're late, then you have to listen to old Farhan interviews as punishment. That's possible. If you're late, we shave an eyebrow. Oh, I got to tell you, True Blue, you just got me into something. I'll go ADD if I don't tell the story right now. All right, give me real quick, and then I'm going to play that clip to the Krug Show in less than 60 seconds. So I used to do a wacky morning show. Wacky morning show! God, this has to be 25 years ago. I was doing a wacky morning show. I was kind of a third wheel guy in there, so I was the crazy guy. And we used to do football bets with listeners. And if they won, then they won, you know, you've got great prizes. Tell them what he's won, Johnny. Like, he just, you know, they were pretty good stuff. They were tickets and stuff like that, and VIP passes and all these kind of things. So they won. But if they lost, the stakes were pretty high. So, for example, we had a guy who just in a Speedo ran like a 40-yard dash, but we had people, again, this is before everybody kind of, you know, but there was a guy who had to run a 40-yard dash in a Speedo, and we shot paintballs at him, and we videoed it before, you know, everyone was throwing video up. This is a long time ago. There was a guy who got, we had a police guy come in actually and pepper spray a guy. And that was not good. We almost got fired for that because the radio station was like, yeah, the liability to this. Because the guy was literally in the studio, and I wish we could still find this. It's not like it is today. We didn't put it up on YouTube. But the guy was like, I'm blind. And we were just like, oh, my God, I think we've gone too far. This is a true story. We were in the studio that we did had a cement floor, and I lost a football bet. And I got tased by I had a police officer friend who used to do all these kind of things. And I had a football helmet on and everything. He goes, okay, we're going to do like a 6-second tase. Which 6 seconds? That doesn't sound very long, right? Guy, they hooked him to my nipples. I've got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? So they hook him up to my nipples and they shoot the thing. And I'm telling you, it's a bolt of electricity when you put your finger like in a socket accidentally times 1,000. I mean, it dropped me to the floor like that. And that's what, because I was like, why do I need this football helmet? And bam, I hit my head on the cement floor. Back, you know, that'd be a concussion back in the day. We had MMA fighters come in and choke people out. But to go back to what your thought was, your first thought, God, I'm going back and looking at this. I can't believe I didn't get sued a million times. Last thing, though, is I think Arrow brought this up, is that we shaved a guy's eyebrows. And we didn't realize it at the time, but his mom came back and freaked out. He was like 20 years old. I mean, he was above 18. He lost a bet, and then he came in and shaved his eyebrows, and it was so freaking. Then his mom called us later and was freaking out. We put her on the air. It was actually pretty funny. There was one more that was really good that happened to me. I'm trying to think. Oh, you know what happened to me? I'm embarrassed to take my shirt off, but a guy was supposed to get a tattoo. I think it was an NBA playoff series or something, and he was what fan was he? I don't know what it was, but he had to get a Lakers tattoo. He hated the Lakers, and he had to get a Lakers tattoo. He didn't show up. We had the tattoo people there, so I ended up getting a GRL on the back of my arm right here, which is both my dad's name, who's passed, and my son's name. They're both named George Richard Lund, so I just decided, well, I don't want these tattoo guys to come down here for nothing, so I got a tattoo on the air. I'm just sitting there as a guy, I'm just like, blah, 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 and they're putting a tattoo, so I have a GRL that I actually got on the air because we had a bet with a listener who was supposed to get a Lakers tattoo, and he backed out. We never could find the guy ever again. All right, I went on like a 10-minute. This had to be in Detroit, yeah. I mean, if you go back and think about that, and those kind of the heydays of radio, I mean, we did, and that's stupid. Like, I got tased, hit my head, certainly had a concussion that probably lingers on to today, which explains a lot. Like I said, paintballs, a guy running a 40-yard dash and getting hit with paintballs who was nearly naked. Shaving a guy's eyebrows, shooting a guy with pepper spray in the eye. Now, we thought it was better because it was actually a police officer who did it and everything. And we were like, well, how does this, you know, where's the antidote? And he's like, just water. And so we're just splashing water. The kid's screaming. We ended up buying him, like, lunch. Like, we bought him, like, a giant burrito. Like, here, don't sue us. Here's a giant burrito. Anyway. All right. Sorry. Went on a tangent there. And what are we at? We're already at, like, 20 past the hour, and I haven't done anything. Let's see. Jacob, Alicia didn't drink water for an Xbox. No, I didn't do anything like that. Let's see, the tattoo story about his ex-wife. Yeah, I got that one. I got it. I can't tell everything today. let's see, what else do we have? Yeah, 94.9 The Doghouse. That's what it was. It was one of those, like, morning crazy, it's a wacky morning show. And we just said, all right, what are we going to do? We ended up this is what's crazy. We submitted some of this weird stuff just for the heck of it because they have, like, state awards. We won, like, best radio show in the whole state of Michigan in Detroit. We put clips of just doing dumb, crazy stuff, you know, gags with listeners, that bets with listeners, basically. I forgot what we called it. But it was extreme. Like, if I lost bets, and I was the dummy because I was the third wheel guy. So it's like, hey, you know, Mikey likes it. He'll try anything. It's like, Lund will do anything, just, you know. Because I was starting out, and I'm just like, yeah, I'll be wacky third wheel guy. I'll get tased. I'll get paintballed. I'll get, you know, it was crazy. But you cannot do anything like that anymore. I mean, seriously, you'd be sued 18 times over. All right, enough of that. Enough of fun down memory lane stuff. Welcome in, John Lund Unleashed. We do this every day at 8 a.m. We usually get to some sports stuff quicker. We love feedback on the show. We appreciate it. Tell all your friends, unless you hate the show, and then tell all the people that you hate. We have a podcast that goes along with it as well, at John Lund Unleashed Pod. All right, let's get to it. I was on with Larry Kruger last night, and Krug has done a tremendous job. I want to be Krug when I grow up. I think he's got like over 50,000 subscribers. Brody Brazil's done a great job at this, over 60,000 subscribers. Those are great guys who I want to be when I grow up. So I'm on the Krug Show last night. I do that every Monday night, so make sure that you move on over there. We have a great time talking football. I've known Krug basically since I moved here in 2010. We lived across the street from each other in Walnut Creek. He coached my kid in baseball. They were the Dodgers, by the way, and Krug wouldn't wear the Dodgers hat. We did pre- and post-game for the Niners for years. We did ESPN radio nationally after the NFL games each Sunday for about 3 years. We were the voices that you would hear on ESPN radio to wrap up the NFL day for about 3 years. We did that. So Krug and I have done a ton of stuff together. I have a ton of respect for what Krug does. So last night, amongst all the things we're talking about with the 49ers, I come up with this weird idea that says, hey, you know, would you ever trade Brock Purdy? Because Sam Darnold's having this great year. Sam Darnold obviously likes Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan likes Sam Darnold. Darnold would cost about half of what Brock Purdy would cost. Purdy's going to cost in the $50 to $60 million range, probably closer to $50 now. And Sam Darnold, which people are throwing MVP around his name, I wouldn't, but he has 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and he's the quarterback for an 11-2 team. He probably cost half of what Brock Purdy costs, and then you can do all these things. So anyway, him and I had a conversation about this. I want you to listen to it and keep an open mind about it as we're talking about it, and then you can tell me if I'm crazy, because it was kind of me pushing this narrative last night. So you might say to yourself, you are so nuts. You are so stupid. You are so crazy. At John Lund Radio, but here is the conversation that Krug and I had, and then you and I, let's discuss. All right, so there you go. There is the conversation that Krug and I had. And just to kind of, before you skin me alive, my point is this. Sam Darnold is having a great year. I've never been the biggest Sam Darnold guy. If you listen to my KNBR show, well, Papa was sitting there going, oh, Sam Darnold, John, and Sam Darnold this and Sam Darnold that and everything in the physical, you know, in spinning the ball and throwing the ball. And Mayoko said that maybe he was the most talented thrower, which doesn't mean he's the most talented quarterback, all those kind of things. He was the third overall pick out of SC's, underrated athletically, all those different things. And all I'm simply saying is from a financial standpoint, you're going to do one of two things in this offseason. You're going to either give Brock the $50 to $60 million. And over the last couple of days, if you've tuned into the show, and you have to every day because it builds on itself, you know. But we played the clip from Ian Rappaport over the weekend saying absolutely, positively, 100%, the 49ers are going to sign Brock Purdy. Done. Well, that I don't think that's accurate, because knowing the front office to a certain extent like I do, they talk about everything. You know, that's what's great about this front office. They talk about certain trades. That doesn't mean they're going to do them. It's just they're open-minded to everything. So, again, Kyle loves Darnold. Darnold loves Kyle. Darnold knows that Kyle resurrected his career. Sam Darnold's on the West Coast. And Sam Darnold would probably cost you, I don't know, $20, $25 million. I said in that clip, 3 and 75, which is still righteous bucks, bro. But Brock Purdy is going to cost you 6 or 7 years with an annual average annual value. Let me get it right. Average annual value of, I don't know, 50, 55. If Trevor Lawrence is getting 55 and Tua's getting like 52 and a half. And, you know, so Brock's going to get about $55 million. And that is going to affect your bottom line, as you and I have often talked about. So you're going to lose Hargrave because of it, or Ward because of it? Probably. Greenlaw, who's coming back on Thursday, it sounds like. Is Greenlaw going to be back? Like, there's just going to be pieces. It's going to got to just chip away at the house. And I like Brock. This is not an indictment on Brock Purdy. What it is using money wisely. How much better is Brock Purdy than Sam Darnold, honestly? And if you factor in the amount of money that it's going to take to keep Brock Purdy, and you balance that part, is Brock Purdy a better quarterback than Sam Darnold? Yes. Now, let's use the scales and say, okay, here's how much money it's going to cost to get Purdy. Here's how much money it's going to cost to get Darnold. And oh, by the way, as I pointed out, right now, if you go to Tankathon, one of my favorite places, and I'm sorry I don't have a picture of it put up there, but the Raiders have the first pick, the Giants have the second pick. In some order, Shedeur, Sanders, and Cam Ward are going to go. Those are the top two quarterbacks. But if you look at, as I said in that clip, 6, 7, and 8, right now, the Tennessee's 6, the Jets are 7, and the Browns are 8. All three of those teams need a quarterback. And if you went to all three of those teams and said, I don't know, or they came to you and said, one of those three, 6, 7, and 8 in the draft, and said, Brock Purdy and a 3, or excuse me, Brock Purdy for a 1 and a 3. And I think a lot of teams would do that. The Jets are absolutely positively desperate. Cleveland is desperate with a wacko owner. Will Levis is certainly not the answer in Tennessee. I'm just throwing it out there that if you got Darnold and then all of a sudden you could get the 6th, 7th, or 8th pick and maybe another mid-round pick for Brock Purdy, and not only would you get that pick and I think take an offensive tackle because Trent's getting older, or a big-time interior defensive lineman. I know they tried that once and it didn't work. But if they could do one of those things, then take the $25 million and actually fortify the offensive and defensive lines, I'm not saying I'd do it, but I sure as hell would have to think about it. So give me your thoughts on it. I laid it out on the table. Maybe you're just like, nah, rah, 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 not hearing it. You said trade Brock Purdy, blah, 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 not hearing it. I can understand that because it takes so long. It's very difficult to get a quarterback. Darnold's having a great season, but it doesn't mean that he can do it year in and year out and year in and year out. Maybe he can. But I do. All I'm saying is I think that they need to have a conversation around the big mahogany table rather than saying we're paying Brock next and just scratching it off the list. Here are the list of things that the 49ers need to do. Let's just say Brock's getting signed, and then let's move on to the next thing. I think you have to have an intelligent conversation about it. Not saying that I just had an intelligent conversation. I'm simply saying that you have to. So give me your thoughts. 515, we're not trading Brock. At least he didn't call me dirty names, so that's a start. Oh, God. Let's see. the thought of this gives me diarrhea. It's too early in the morning for that. Good thing I already ate and I'm trying to quit coffee. That's not going so well. Let's see. If you keep Kyle, this is interesting, HR. If you keep Kyle, I would do it and draft Genty, as Kyle needs a dynamic running back. They have three dynamic running backs. It is a question on Christian McCaffrey. Coming back from these kind of leg, ankle, foot, Achilles-type injuries is not guaranteed, especially as you get closer to the magic running back number of 30. But I really like Mason, and then we talked about this yesterday. Guerrero showed you a lot. I mean, you got to remember with this kid, and I talked to a lot of people in training camp, he was just a long way away. I sound like a broken record, but he didn't play much at Wisconsin. He was more of a receiver. Then he went to Louisville, and he played 1 year. And then at the beginning of the year, he's like running into guys and all that kind of stuff. He's 6'1", 223 with a 4.33 40. But he just didn't know how to run in a zone scheme. You're almost like a wave rider. And he just didn't get it. And then so for this guy to have this little experience, just overall as a running back, and actually played more receiver, and you saw him making a couple of nice catches in the win against the Bears. So he's versatile. I really like his upside. Now, I'm not saying I don't like Genty. He's good. And if I had a Heisman vote, I'd vote for him over Travis Hunter. I like Travis Hunter. But what Genty has done is just ridiculous. And I think he's going to come into the league. He's going to be a top 10 pick. I know that running backs are undervalued, but he's good. I mean, he's really good. Let's see what else. Yeah, so basically people are calling and saying I'm stupid. That's all right. You're saying it in a very nice way, and I really appreciate it. But, yeah, people don't want to do that. All right, that's fine. we can keep that conversation going. Let's move over to Debo for a second. And maybe this is just the way things go, and I'm being get-off-my-lawn guy. Maybe I'm doing that, the Clint Eastwood thing, the old get-off-my-lawn guy. Maybe I'm doing that. But Debo yesterday came out, and you can see it right there, said the following. He says that it's not on him, basically. You can see it right there. It's not on him, and then you can read down there, he's not the guy that he used to be. So he comes out publicly and says, look, man, it's not on me. I'm not getting the ball. Now, he's good friends with A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown, I don't know if you caught that, after the Eagles barely slipped by the Panthers this weekend, but he came out and somebody asked him, point blank, what's the problem offensively right now? And he goes, passing game. And he just looked him dead in the eye. And with every answer, he just essentially intimated that Jalen Hurts wasn't getting it done. And I know that Debo Samuel's not doing that because he followed this up with another tweet saying, basically, look, those are my guys. I'm not bashing my guys. But if you're saying that you're not getting the ball enough, and you can see the numbers, you know, he's not breaking tackles. He's not dynamic. He's not doing those things. He had 5 carries for 13 yards on the ground. So that whole wide back, whatever you want to call it, it's not effective anymore. And so there's Debo basically defending himself, saying it's not on me. It's on either on the play calling, so he's calling out Kyle, or he's saying I'm not getting the ball, so he's calling out Brock. So I don't love either of those scenarios. I think you should keep it to yourself. Plus, here's the thing. It's not a democracy. So if Debo Samuel bitches and moans to the fan base, it's not like we have a vote. Get the ball to Debo more, and we all vote for Debo, and then Kyle Shanahan goes, I guess that's the popular vote. I got to get the ball to Debo more. It's not. Kyle Shanahan is a judge, jury, and executioner. It's him. So if the plays aren't called for Debo, if the offensive game plan doesn't involve Debo as much as it used to do, whatever the case may be, it's not like Brock Purdy is saying, man, I ain't throwing it to number one. I know he's wide open over there, but I'm not throwing it to him. And we've discussed this many times. He's going to be gone at the end of the year, whether they were to do my cockamamie idea of bringing in Sam Darnold and keeping more guys, or Brock Purdy gets paid and Debo Samuel isn't back. Because when Brandon Ayuk is back, and Jennings has shown the type of receiver he is, and although Ricky Pearsall is in a massive slump, and we are so quick to forget that he didn't play in training camp at all, was injured through camp, got shot, and he just, since the Tampa Bay game where he had the 6 catches for 73 yards, he scored his first touchdown. He had an end around for, I think, 39 against Dallas the game before that. He's basically been shut out. I think he had 1 catch last week for 5 yards, if I'm not mistaken, without looking it up. He hasn't been effective. I get it. But if you tell me that the wide receivers are Ayuk, Jennings, Pearsall, Kittle, who's having a hell of a year that we need to discuss more, and then the 3 running backs that I just discussed, that is plenty of offensive weapons. It's in probably the top 5 in the NFL, and that doesn't include Debo, and Debo makes $23 million. So I'll give Debo credit in one way, which is generally this season up until now, and he's probably getting frustrated because the team's not winning as many games, and then he's not getting the ball enough, and it's not that he seems, remember, he's doing a podcast, he's constantly on any of the social, like Instagram and those things. So Debo Samuel clearly is a connoisseur, or a consumer, I should say. A consumer is more appropriate than a connoisseur. He's a consumer of social media. And what's happening on social media? Debo's not getting the ball. Debo stinks. Guys like me going, Debo's done. You know, and he knows that kind of stuff. So he's trying to defend himself, but you don't need to do it publicly. I've just never been a big fan of it. Now, for me, and I'm scouring for content every single day, it's awesome. You got more, Debo? You got more? I'm sticking a mic. This is my hand's a microphone. Come on, Debo, say more stuff. And then I can use it to talk about it. But there's plenty of stuff to talk about. I don't need Debo to do that. You go, if you have a problem, you go to Kyle Shanahan. If you have a problem, you go to Brock Purdy. You know, those are the avenues. You don't go make it public because it doesn't matter what we think. Now, personally, I think the running back thing, and this was something that we discussed when he was going, remember when he was trying to sign his contract, and he asked for a trade and all those kind of things, and there was rumors that said he didn't want to be a running back. Well, essentially, with his body type, that's what he is, even though he's a receiver. He's a power forward in a receiver/running back's body, and you see running backs run out of juice earlier in their careers, late 20s, and that's where Debo is age-wise. And he's broken a lot of tackles and a lot of run after the catch, and he's played in a lot of playoff games and a couple of Super Bowls. And to me, and I could be wrong, maybe there's an injury I don't know about, but to me, Debo's done. And so he's lashing out, thinking to himself, no, it's not on me. Well, he had 5 carries for 13 yards, had a couple of catches for about 20 yards. That seems to be Debo every week. And then if you just watch him, one of my philosophies, as you well know, is watch the damn game. If you just watch the damn game, he just doesn't look as explosive as he used to be. And so I just don't think he's going to be here. He's lashing out. We're not the people to talk to. I would talk to Kyle Shanahan and see what he has to say. Anyway, just my thoughts. Rocket says, take the C from Debo. I'm not going to take the C from Debo, but I just think, you know, and again, I think he's been fairly professional through this process, but because remember, the minute they signed Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel knew he was done. He knew it. They took a first-round receiver. Juwan Jennings is playing well. You're paying Kittle a bunch of money. You're paying McCaffrey a bunch of money, and you're scratching your head going, if you're Debo going, I don't fit into this equation. That's what happened to me at KMBR. I knew. Like, I'm looking at this thing going, okay, what I make, what I, you know, and I'm, believe me, I'm not making millions of dollars, but after a while, guys start to get let go, and you start to feel the squeeze, and you're like, I'm probably not going to make it through this. I mean, you just know. So Debo knows, and he's been a professional through the whole process, except at the end of the season when it looks more and more like they're not going to be in the playoffs, and now he's got to start positioning himself for the offseason, and he's going, he's not telling that to you and I. He's telling it to other GMs around the league. And his agent, I'm sure, is doing that same thing. Hey, man, it ain't on Debo. Debo's just not getting the ball. 2 catches? 5 carries? That's not enough. He got 7 touches against the Bears. By the way, they know that the run is coming. There hasn't been a change in the way that Debo's run the ball in forever. And again, it's not a Debo bash session. It's not at all. It's just that he's trying to, through the media and through his own social media, say it's not on me. Sign me to a contract in the offseason because it's not on me, because he knows that this is it. So give me your thoughts. Let's see. With the dead cap, I don't think he's gone. You know what's crazy, Tacky, is that it used to be that, like, if you were going to have a dead cap, and I guess I got to look up Debo's dead cap. If you were going to have a dead cap, that it was like, no way. And now teams are eating easily $20, $30, $40, $50 million. I mean, the amount of money that the Broncos ate on the Russell Wilson deal, and try choking that down. No way. But teams are just more willing to do it, and the cap continues to go up year in and year out because revenues go up and up and up and up and up. So we all sit here and we look at the numbers and all that kind of stuff. That's just not going to work. That's not going to fit. You can't eat that amount of money. And they do it year after year after year. It's crazy. Anyway. Let's see. All right, let's move to – let's see. We did Krug Show. We did Debo. Let's get into some fun stuff. Let's have a little bit of fun here because I don't give me a little feedback on this, whether it be at John Lund Radio or right there on the chat, which is right in front of me. I'm not going to say that the off season in sports is better than the regular season. It's not. Now, if your team stinks and it was a frustrating year for the Giants, maybe the off season, which starts with Willy Adames as your new shortstop, is pretty cool. And getting Buster in there and being intrigued about what Buster's going to do and what is Buster going to do next. And, you know, so they're off to a great start as far as the offseason is concerned, and maybe this offseason is more fun than what the Giants' regular season was, but I love it, man. And I'd love to get your feedback on it just because I love rumors. I love possible trades, potential trades. 99% of them don't happen. I love, you know, just I have a sports list of just like John Morosi, Buster Posey, Mark Feinsand, you know, all these guys, not Heyman because he blocked me, but all these different baseball insiders, and I just eat up rumors, man. I could sit there for hours. You know how yesterday you and I were talking about, like, videos, and you get locked up in videos, and you're watching on your phone, and all of a sudden an hour's passed, and you're like, what the hell just happened? Where did that hour go? Because you were watching, like, cat or car crash videos or something. That's how I am with, like, rumors in any sport. I love rumors, NFL rumors, who you might draft, who you might trade, who's going to get cut, who's going to pick them up, all this kind of stuff. So I'm a huge fan. So obviously it's going to reflect in the show, and I go back to, if you hate that kind of stuff, just let me know, because I want to deliver what you want. But so here's a few things. Now, we know that Willy Adames is going to be a giant dot and I's crossing T's. And as we know, Carlos Correa, he's got to pass that physical. I'm not going to be negative. But here's a few things that I think are really fun now as the winter meetings are going on. So here's number one on the list. This through Talking Baseball, Astros GM Dana Brown says they'll listen to anybody on trade offers for Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez. Now, Tucker, you know, I'm sure. He's a superstar. Problem with Kyle Tucker is, and we've talked right field, you and I, over the last few days, the problem with Kyle Tucker is he's a free agent after the year, and he's going to demand a boatload of money. And would he stay in San Francisco? Now, I said that it would be really difficult to get hitters to sign here. It has been in the past. But Adames is a guy who signed 7-182, and I did look this up. His projected number was 7-180, right? And so they paid market value for and didn't have to overpay for Willie Adames. That's a great sign. Would Tucker sign here long-term? Now, you put Tucker and Wright, and somebody I just saw right there said Framber, yes. Is that Wes? Framber. Yeah, I love Framber. And Jimmy K, I'll get to your Niners question in just a second. And we can keep talking football. It doesn't mean because I just flipped to something else that we can't. So if you got more questions, hit it. I'll go back. But to me, that's a really intriguing one because let's just have a little fun. If Kyle Tucker's the right fielder for your San Francisco Giants, then Patrick Bailey just being a defense-only catcher is fine. And maybe having Lamont Wade Jr. at first base is okay, even though I'd still like to upgrade there, and I got a couple of names that we'll talk about. But as I looked at the projected lineup, even with Adames, and I think we did that yesterday and maybe even the day before, everybody start, you know, a trade or a free agent signing or whatever, then people put out a projected lineup. And it had, and Buster Posey said he likes Fitzgerald at second base. We'll see. Ha-Seong Kim is not going to be a member of the Giants. Some people had speculated that maybe he would be, even with Adames, and he would play second. That was shot down yesterday by Buster and by Bob Melvin at the winter meetings. But what that allows you to do is I'd like to get an upgrade at first, but if you get Tucker and Wright, man. And then I think that Yaz becomes that fourth outfielder that can play all the positions, come in late for defense. He can play right and center. Left is easier in that ballpark. But then he can play anywhere. His bat, you know, he gets 300, 400 bats in a season. That's fine. I just don't want him to be the regular guy. And then Kyle Tucker. And then as far as, and I got the response right away on Framber Valdez, if you don't know, and I think you probably do because the Astros have been in the playoffs and the World Series and all that thing with Valdez, he's one of the more underrated pitchers in the league. So, you know, you got to make that call, but they're right in the same hotel. But you got to be in on Kyle Tucker. And then you got to talk to his agent and say, hey, man, would you go long term? He probably wants to play a year in the ballpark. But, I mean, those kind of things get me intrigued, even if they're unrealistic. But, look, Buster Posey going out and signing Willie Adames before everybody could pivot, before Juan Soto signed so that then those teams who are going to pivot, I mean, that's brilliant stuff. And so I'm going to change my viewpoint on what is reality for the Giants, because reality under Farhan was – you're getting scraps and garbage. You're getting, you know, Ross Stripling and Jorge Soler at the end of free agency. I'll give him Matt Chapman, no doubt about it. But you're getting the last 2 years, you've gotten a lot of scraps at the end of free agency. And so now my viewpoint has changed of, okay, Adames starts it, and I'm not, you know, you're not going to go absolutely bananas. They're not going to spend that much money. They still aren't the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Mets. I should say the Mets before anybody. But it would seem realistic that they would get involved in something like that. And this one then has actually the Giants' name on it, and you see right there from Buster Olney talking about Max Fried and the Giants being potentially linked to Max Fried. And you know, there's all sorts of tactics that go on with GMs, and that's where a lot of the agents are the guys who leak this kind of stuff. First of all, let me back up for just a quick second. Agents leak things. Why do they leak things, Lund? Glad you asked. Because what that does is, especially in this kind of a situation, it expands their market. Hey, the Giants are involved. The Red Sox are involved. The Yankees are involved. The Dodgers are involved. And then what we do as a media is we run and we, you know, tweet it out or whatever. I just was pounding on a computer board, but that's not what we do. We grab our sweet little phones here and we tweet something out. We're an insider and all of a sudden Max Fried's tied to the Giants. The agent does that. You think Buster Posey's going out and going, hey, Buster. Buster to Buster. Buster to Buster have a conversation, and they say, hey, Buster Olney. Yes, Buster Posey, we're interested in Max Fried. Because you don't want people to know. if people had known that Willy Adames was as far along in the, with the Giants as they were, they would have jumped in on it. You want to make things quiet. You want to move in a stealth manner. You don't want to tell everybody what you're doing. But agents do it so they can expand the market for their players. So one side's going, shut up! That's the team side. And then the other side, the agent's trying to blow it up that everybody's involved in his guy. So I don't know if that's reality. I don't know if that's, hey, by the way, Corbin Burns, we can go another place. You know, teams can leak those kind of things. Like, you know what? We're interested in Max Fried, too. And Fried is not the horse that Burns is, but last year I think he threw like 174 innings. He's had a couple of injury issues. There's no doubt about it. But Max Fried is nice. Like, you put Max Fried, and they all seem to be around the same age. He's around 30 or 31. So you put him next to Logan Webb. He's not as reliable as a Corbin Burns, but he's pretty good if Corbin Burns is going somewhere else. We do keep hearing that Corbin Burns, he's from Bakersfield, as many have pointed out, that, you know, that's kind of, you know, he could play for the Dodgers, play for the Giants, but as far as home is concerned, and you and I have had that conversation, some guys want to go home sometimes, or some guys don't, but we have heard that he would like to pitch here. So I think he's in the mix. Max Fried, is that just a rumor or is that reality? Buster Olney is a pretty good source, so I'm going to go ahead and say that that could be reality. I don't think they'd get both Burns and Fried, but if they got one, I'd be happy. I agree with you, Ink. Fried is fragile. He has been. Tacky says only made 30 starts twice in his career. So, look, if that is the case too, and I agree with you, he's had Tommy John, he's had a couple other things happen with him. You know, that's not the direction that the Giants are going to go. You know, I've had the conversation, we had it last week, the Dodgers are taking a big chance on having Yamamoto 90 innings and Blake Snell 104 innings, and we know always what happens with Glasnow. He threw 134, which to him is like 234. He gets hurt all the time, was hurt in the playoffs, didn't pitch there. They're not going to have Walker Buehler back. I mean, they have a lot of injury issues. Are they going to be good? Of course. Should they win the NL West? Yeah. But they have some issues as far as durability with their pitchers, and I know that the Giants want to avoid that. All right, give me your thoughts on that. There's a couple of names, and I love free agency talk or trade talk or off-season talk. This is one that's really easy, and nobody's talking about this around the Giants. It's so easy, especially come playoff time. You know, when you have Billy Beane, and Billy Beane says, you know, in the playoffs, it's a crapshoot. Well, it's not a crapshoot if you have a really good bullpen, and I think that's the big difference. And you see right here John Morosi talking about teams after bullpen arms. Bullpen arms are one of the best and yet cheapest way to make your team better. So, like, Tanner Scott's name is on there, and he went from the Marlins to the Padres during the season. And, you know, Tanner Scott's going to get, what, $12 to $15 million a year, which to me and you is like, what? But in the baseball world is not a ton. I haven't heard these names around the Giants. I'm just throwing out there. This is my own personal opinion. It's easy to build a bullpen. And it's not overly expensive to build a bullpen. And the more and more we talk about it, because, yep, you want Logan Webb going 200-plus innings, and maybe they get Corbin Burns, and he goes 200-plus innings. But then Robbie Ray is still a year removed from Tommy John. And then Buster Posey said yesterday at the meetings that he really loves Birdsong and he really loves Harrison. Again, that can be coach speak, that can be GM speak, to where, hey, they got really high value. It's going to take a lot for us to trade those guys. I expect them to trade one of those guys. I really do. And I expect them to fortify their pitching with veterans. And then maybe it's Harrison, maybe it's Birdsong. I love Birdsong's upside more than I do Harrison's, even though Harrison has been hyped more. I love Birdsong. And I told you this the other day. We had him out on the patio on KMBR during some day baseball, and the guy's just got the makeup. Smart. I really like the guy. So I would love for the Giants to get into the relief market because it's just not that expensive. Now, Devin Williams from the Brewers is going to be expensive, and you got to trade for him, but are you kidding me? Buster also said yesterday that he likes Camilo Duvall. He thinks he can be rehabbed. I don't know if he's going to be a closer, though. Ryan Walker is nasty. I think next year it's going to potentially be Duvall and Walker, but I would – the way he melted down last year, give me Devin Williams. I don't know what it's going to cost me to get him. Give me Tanner Scott for the eighth inning. I want stability. I told you this the other day, the if factor – for a team, and no matter what sport, we can take that down now, no matter what sport we're talking about, if this, if that, if this, if that, you know, if Camilo Duvall is the guy he was 2 years ago, I don't want ifs. I want a guy who's going to go in there in the eighth inning and I know is going to be great. And if you tell me that Tanner Scott's my eighth inning guy and Ryan Walker's my ninth inning guy, and I can fortify my pen a little bit more and it doesn't cost me a 10 for a seventh inning guy, then all of a sudden I've shortened the game to six innings. And when Logan Webb pitches and he gets ripped off all the time in terms of not winning games, Logan Webb's given me six at least. And those guys are on the back end of the bullpen? Yes, please. I would trade Duvall. And remember, another part of this whole situation is, what's the GM going to say? Hey, Buster, you want to keep Camilo Duvall around? Hey, let me tank his trade value and say, yeah, Camilo's just not getting it done. We're looking to move him. What GM says that? No GM says that. They all say, love that guy, love that guy, love that guy. Then the next day, he's traded. So because this is, it's always lying season in sports, but at the winter meetings, it's massive lying season. What do you think of this guy? Love him. What do you think of this guy? Love him. He's always going to say that stuff. He's going to say all that stuff about his own players. So when people come and they say, well, did you hear what Buster said about Camilo Duvall? Yeah, I did. The flip side of that is, what do you want him to say? He's not going to tank his trade value and say, we're going to trade him. We're looking to trade him. We're looking to move him. It's a young guy with an electric 100-mile-an-hour arm who can throw when he's on a bender that'll buckle your knees, and you're like, how the hell do I hit this guy? So he's going to keep his value up, and just because he said nice things about him doesn't mean he's not going to trade the guy. One other funny note here, and then I'll get back out to the text line. It's John Lund Unleashed on a Tuesday. you probably saw this. MLB trade rumors saying that the Twins are potentially looking at moving Carlos Correa. So let's review a couple of years. And if Farhan had done this move, at the time, we all would have loved it. And then if Farhan would have done this move, it would have been another one where it's like, there's another stupid move by Farhan. Correa's been banged up. It's not necessarily the injury that the Giants balked on, but Correa's been banged up. He's been okay, not great. I know he's got makeup of a champion, all that kind of stuff, but they were going to pay him, what, $350 million over 13 years? And 2 years later, because some doctor who they should kiss his ass, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving us $200 million or $170 million or whatever it ends up being, the difference between Adames' contract and Correa's contract, plus 13 years versus seven. So you save 6 years on that. So they saved millions upon millions of dollars. And to me, Adames at this point of his career is better than Carlos Correa. And we're hearing over the next or last couple of days what great makeup Adames has. So this whole thing has been, looks like it's win-win versus, okay, the doctor says, heck with it, just pass him on the physical. And now what do you have, 11 years left on Correa's deal and a bunch of money versus going 7-182 on Willy Adames? The moves you don't make sometimes. So that's enough on baseball. I'm going to play a video of Mad Dog in just a second, but welcome in on a Tuesday edition of the show. John Lund Unleashed. I appreciate you hanging out. How long have we been going? Oh, we've gone 55 minutes. This is why I was late today. Because not only, if you look to the right side there on the chalkboard, as we always talk about, I mean, we're to the baseball side of this thing. There's still a Golden State Warriors trade to talk about. There's some Monday Night Football madness. Did you see the blocked punt and then the weirdness? I told you about the kicker and his Dallas Cowboys cheerleader girlfriend. We still got that. And the caboose has like three legit stories. I'm not just trying to say, let's try to get three stories in there. If I'm running short of time, I won't give you all the stories, but they're all really good stories today. And again, the greatness of this forum is I would go 10 to 2 on the radio, and it's like, geez, it's 8:55. I got a break. We don't have to break. Just hang out. It's beautiful. By the way, I want to remind you that if you have to leave the show, which I understand, sometimes you have a life to get to. Right after the show, I will post the podcast. So during the day, if you're running around, whatever, let's say you're in sales or whatever, or you're driving home or whatever, I'll post the entire podcast because, of course, you don't want to miss a minute of the show. So there you go. All right, what do we got? Boring sport. Which sport? Baseball? You're saying baseball? Baseball sucks. To each their own, if that's what you think. I understand that. I love baseball. I love going to baseball games. I love the weather. I love all that kind of stuff. So just a big fan. I understand that. That's why every day I come with a lot of different things to the table. What intrigues me, I don't have to talk baseball if I don't want to. But the winter meetings to me are extremely intriguing, especially given the fact that Buster Posey threw us a major bone and said, here's Willy Adames, and we're just getting started. Versus Farhan, where it was like, wake me up in, what, February? Because that's when he did all his signings of guys that we didn't want to have on the team anyway. I wouldn't say baseball's boring, but again, everybody's due their opinion, and I told you that I like when everybody gives us an opinion. Maybe this is not boring to you, but it is baseball related. So remember yesterday, which maybe you went on a bender and you don't remember yesterday. But remember yesterday when you and I sat here and we talked about the bias in New York. We played the guy, the famous guy who went crazy and about Juan Soto signing with the Mets, and then it was played on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and that's exactly what he was trying to do. But Mad Dog is probably most symbolic of a New Yorker for sports fans. And so he was on his Sirius XM show yesterday, and he was just incredulous that Juan Soto could say no to the Yankees. Here's what he said, and then we're going to discuss. All right, so you get the general idea. I can only handle so much Mad Dog, and I like Mad Dog. I was at the Super Bowl in Phoenix. My son goes to Arizona State, and we had him helping out on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and all these guys are walking around. My kid is a huge baseball fan, so he goes up to Mad Dog. Mad Dog had been on our show earlier that day, and he's like, oh, yeah, I know Lund, and I know Papa, and I know those guys on KBR because you know this. Mad Dog's a big Giants fan, and he was super cool to my kid. I mean, honestly, he's got a bunch of stuff going on, especially at the Super Bowl. He sat there for like 10 minutes and talked baseball with my kid. So, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I hate that guy. You ever met that guy? No, hate that guy. Good guy. But in terms of the New York thing, and this is what I talked about yesterday, how could anybody leave the Yankees? How could anybody leave New York? Oh, my God, it's crazy. And he's a pioneer in sports radio, so I got a ton of respect for Mad Dog, for Chris Russo. But it's just the mentality of who wouldn't want to play for the Yankees? Who wouldn't want to play in New York? And I think the majority of the people, just regular people, if asked, do you want to play in New York? Do you want to play in the biggest stage? Most people would say no. And it's not that they're afraid of the big stage or anything like that or afraid of the pressure or afraid of – it's most people just don't want to do it. And I'm not a New York guy. I'm not bashing New York. And if you love New York and that's where you're from and that's and you're from the East Coast, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying my whole life I've been a West Coast guy. And Papa was from upstate New York. And just, I mean, we went into Madison Square Garden one year when we were covering the Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl 48, the Seahawks and the Broncos. And we went to Madison Square Garden. And at that point, the Knicks and the Celtics sucked. And that's who was playing that night. I think Carmelo Anthony was like on his last stint there or whatever. And the announcer's like, Carmelo Anthony! And, you know, Greg loves all about New York and loves the city and loves going to all the different things, the hustle and the bustle. It's just not my scene. It doesn't mean it's not someone else's scene, but I can see why players don't want to play there. I can see why players don't want to play in California with our 13.3% taxes. To each their own. And I guess my overall point is on the whole thing is you don't know anything about Juan Soto. You don't know about his life. And this applies, I should just do a bigger picture thing on this. This applies to everybody. Like if you take a job, I'm not going to bash you for taking that job. You know what your goals are in life. You know what your family life, what you want it to be. You know where you want to live. You know where you're from. You know, all these factors come in. And then we as a media sit there and we go, how could you not want to play here? How could you not? They win here. They do this here. All those things. Nobody's asked Juan Soto. He hasn't had the press conference yet, but why did you pick the Mets? And he's going to tell you. And then for someone like me or Mad Dog or anybody to criticize and say, that's stupid. You don't know what you're doing. It's like, so you're running my life. You know what's good for me. You know what my family wants to do. Maybe he didn't like the pressure of playing in New York. Maybe he didn't, you know, there's some rumor out that some security guard didn't let him do this, that, or the other. That's not a determining factor. Like, here I am saying what is a determining factor now. But it's, you know, it comes down to a lot of different things. A lot, for me, in most guys that you talk to behind the scenes, because they don't want to say this publicly because it sounds greedy, it just comes down to money. To me, now there's all this speculation that the Yankees offered this and the Mets offered that. I know this. Steve Cohen is going to outbid anybody and everybody right now in baseball. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but that's what he's going to do. He's going to try to buy a championship. And when people say the Dodgers are buying a championship, at least they mixed guys in from their farm system, which the Mets just buy guys. And I don't care. You can build your team however you want. If you're bitching and moaning about the Mets just buying talent, you're just jealous. If the Giants could just buy talent, if they could get Juan Soto and pay him more and pay him and had Steve Cohen as their owner, we wouldn't complain about it. We'd be like, woo, this is awesome. So, that part doesn't make me mad. It's just the speculation of someone who is, he doesn't know Juan Soto. He might have shaken his hand. Juan Soto might know who he is. He doesn't intricately know Juan Soto, his family, his wife, his kids, his what he likes to do, what makes him comfortable in life. We all make decisions that impact our life, and we hope that it makes our life better. Who would dare come up to you when you took a job, no matter what you do for a living, and say, hey, man, you should really take this job. Hey, dude, don't you think I've sat down and thought about it? Don't you think I've talked to my wife about it? Like, you don't think Juan Soto went and talked to his family, his wife, his kids, everybody that he respects, family members, father, mother, I don't know if they're alive, but I mean, he thoroughly went through this. He didn't just put on a blindfold and throw a dart. Hey, it came up Mets. I guess that's where we're going, honey. Let's go. He didn't do that. You know, he's got an agent. He's got a team. He's got marketers. I mean, he has all these people around him. And then he makes a decision like this, thoroughly thought out, I'm sure, amongst a lot of different people. But at the end of the day, it's on him, laying in bed at night going, where am I going? But he's got a ton of information. He knows in his heart and head what he wants to accomplish in life. And then Russo comes on and goes, how do you not want to play with the Yankees? This is a stupid decision. Okay, thanks. I don't know. That's just a peeve of mine. I could be wrong. What do you think? I mean, if somebody told you what to do and where to go work and everything, you go, pound sand, bro. I'm listening to you. You don't think I know what I'm doing? Anyway, it probably just came down to money, to be honest. All right, let's do a little Warriors. We didn't do any Warriors yesterday. I wasn't overly compelled. But again, to go back to my whole trade talk rumors, all that stuff that I love and can't get enough of, here is a rumor that popped up this morning. And this is NBA Central. You got to be careful with NBA Central because they have like a parody account. What is it, NBA like Central or something like that. So you got to be careful. But that does say NBA Central, and a blue mark doesn't mean anything on Twitter/X anymore, so you got to be careful. But this is straight from Shams that the Warriors could have interest in not all, but Cam Johnson, who I really like, the former son, Dorian Finney-Smith, who doesn't really move the needle for me, and I don't think alone would move the needle for the Warriors, and then perpetual pain in the ass, Dennis Schroeder. He wouldn't be bad. I wouldn't mind Dennis Schroeder. But again, what I try to think about, I'll keep that up there for a minute so you can look at it. This is according to Shams. And I love trade rumors. When I'm thinking about making a trade for my team, and I think that if you look at the Warriors, and not my team, they're Joe Lacob's team, I certainly don't own them or have enough money to own them or even be like a minority owner, nothing. But as I look at that right there, I'm going to take that down. So the name that intrigues me the most in that group of Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Schroeder is obviously Cam Johnson. He's underrated. Was traded. What was it, the trade that Miles? God, why am I missing his last name? Anyway, he went from the Suns to Jersey in that trade. And I like Cam Johnson, but I think what you have to ask yourself is, how much better am I going to be? Who am I going to give up? Now, D'Anthony Melton's $12.8 million contract is what people are saying could go the other way. And then, you know, you throw in some picks and whatever. I'd throw in Pods. I mean, we've had this conversation. I think Pods has the potential of a high-end glue guy, but nothing more than that. So I'd move him for a guy like Cam Johnson. But Dorian Finney-Smith, that just adds more depth to a team that has depth. Dennis Schroeder's a nice player, and he's been a pain in the butt for the Warriors over the years. But again, that's a depth piece to me. Cam Johnson is not a superstar. What I'm looking for when I think about shortening the Warriors' rotation is you want a superstar. You want a superstar kind of a player. And so do any of those guys move the needle where you say to yourself, just Cam Johnson's the best player of that bunch. So Cam Johnson comes aboard to the Warriors. Is he any more than a nice player who, again, is part of the strength and numbers kind of conversation? Is he an all-star kind of a player? Is he making a bunch of guys better? How does he fit? Because you're assuming you're not moving Jonathan Kuminga in a Cam Johnson move. Now, I'd move Kuminga. We've had that conversation before, but Kuminga is going to get moved in my eyes, and I would do it for a guy who's going to be a true star. Jimmy Butler's name has come up in that. And Butler's interesting in that it's on the court, it's off the court, it's the desire in which he wants to win with. He's kind of a Draymond Green type of a player, can run hot. Is he a superstar at this point of his career? Well, not during the regular season, but in the playoffs, he kicks it up to another level. And if the goal is, as we've stated many times on the show and on KNBR, if the goal is to win a championship, then Jimmy Butler gets you closer. Does it get you closer than Cam Johnson? Probably. Is Cam Johnson a better long-term play? Sure. So do any of those names blow up your skirt? Do you get excited when you hear about Cam Johnson or Dennis Schroeder? Dorian Finney-Smith really does nothing for me. If you can do it and not really give up a lot, like if it's the contract of De'Anthony Melton, which is $12.8 million, you throw in a small piece and a pick and you're not giving up a ton, then I could see it. If they're asking for Kuminga, then I'm just click, hello, hello. I'm not doing that. Bridges. Yeah, thank you very much, HR. Thank you, Perik Dapa. Bridges was the guy that I was thinking about. So anyway, that's what the guy that I was thinking about. So there's the latest on that. All right, a little bit of Warriors in there. Let me get to, this is unbelievable last night. Let me get down to the stuff on Monday Night Football last night. So first of all, it's Leon Lett reincarnated. So if you're old enough to remember, Miami's taking on Dallas. It's Thanksgiving in the 90s, and a field goal gets blocked, and all the Cowboys have to do is stay away from the ball. But Leon Lett, the defensive tackle, of course, had the gaffe in the Super Bowl as well, Don Beebe, all that kind of stuff, touches the ball. Miami dives on it. Miami kicks a field goal. Miami wins the game. So the same thing essentially happens last night. It's a punt instead of a field goal. But and I love Bones Fossil, John Fossil, and it's, you know, I'm always asking for Brian Schneider's job with the 49ers, but sometimes as a special teams coach, and they always do this to you, whether it's a good play or a bad play on special teams, they always show the special teams coordinator. Like, he had something to do with it. And so I'm sure he said get away from the ball, but there's less than 2 minutes left in the game. Dallas is getting the ball back, and all they have to do, they're going to run the clock out. They're going to beat Cincinnati, but the punt gets blocked. Nick Vigil, a linebacker, blocks the punt, and then a dude who just got activated, the ball hits off him, but it's not like a situation like the 49ers in the Super Bowl. He could see it coming. So let me play it for you. Just really weird last night. See, you see Bones Fossil, we've had on many times on our show, at the end there. He's excited about, he has these mixed emotions because the punt gets blocked, but then he sees 41, who they show, and the ball hits off him. And again, it wasn't like he was turned away and it hit off his foot. It was like he's near the ball, and everybody's yelling, clear, clear, which means get away from the ball. Or they yell fire, 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 which you can't yell inside, so I might get in trouble for doing that. But, you know, generally clear, which means get away from the ball. And it hits off the guy. The Bengals recover. The Bengals, like, it was a play or two later, right? And they go to Ja'Marr Chase. He goes down the sidelines. They score a touchdown. Cooper Rush comes on because Dak is hurt, obviously, and Dallas doesn't win. Now, does it matter in the long term? They're both 5-8. Dallas isn't going anywhere. But I just thought it was just such a weird thing. And for Monday Night Football, I'm watching that game going, you just get away from the ball and you win the game. It's not that hard. So anyway, that's what happened last night. Another subplot of last night's game. And by the way, if you watched the Simpsons thing, and I mean, I just didn't. I tell you all the time, I'm an alt-broadcast kind of a guy. I like the Manning cast, although I didn't watch the Manning cast. I like in college football where they do the alt-broadcast. I think that the future of broadcasting major sporting events is the alt-cast. I think the alt-cast is fun. I think we can relate to the alt-cast. Joe Buck doesn't do a lot for me. I don't hate Joe Buck. I'm not one of those people. I'm not a hater on Joe Buck or any broadcasters or anything. A lot of people are like, I don't care. I like the alt broadcast. I just didn't watch it last night. But this was another subplot within the game. So I played this for you earlier this week, but I want to play it for you again, which is Cade York is a kicker, and it kind of relates to Jake Moody. He was a fourth-round pick the year before Moody was taken in the third round by the Niners. And one of the reasons I hate taking kickers in at all, I'd rather, you know, Brandon Aubrey of the Cowboys is probably the best kicker in the league. They got him off a scrap, like, out of nowhere. And then you see that all the time. You don't have to use draft picks on kickers. But Cade York was a fourth rounder for the Browns, has bounced all around, was with Washington to start the year. Now he's filling in for Evan McPherson. And the strangest thing, so he gets a call during the week. His girlfriend is a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, if you haven't heard the story. And Cade York, of course, was kicking for the Bengals last night. So she's rooting for the Cowboys, supposedly, but actually rooting for the kicker. So here is Cade York, who, let's be honest, he's not that attractive of a man, but he got a cheerleader, so he must have a personality or money or something must be going on in his life. But here is a Cade York earlier this week in Cincinnati talking about how his girlfriend is going to be on the sidelines against the Cowboys or against the Bengals. She's going to be on the sidelines as a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader earlier this week. So there you go. And there's a couple of things to this before I play Cade York last night on Monday Night Football, if you missed it. And then they should, of course, go directly to his girlfriend. But it's depressing in the fact that, you know, I'm wearing a hat today. I'm not an attractive man. I know that. I'm more towards the audio portions than I am the video portions, but this is where we are. And people have told me, both with my first wife and my second, that I outkicked my coverage, to use a sports comparison. I have outkicked my coverage in both situations, so I'm not here to rip Cade York, even though I don't think he's an overly good-looking man, but he got a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, and good for him. I'm not a hater. But the thing is like quarterbacks and superstars, everything, they get the Cowboy cheerleaders and everything, and now we got to deal with a kicker who's not even really a kicker. He's a backup kicker. That's depressing to me. But here is last night on Monday Night Football. So York makes a kick, and then they kick it over to his girlfriend. The camera goes right to his girlfriend, and she must not have any confidence in his kicking ability whatsoever, because listen to what she says at the end. She's thanking the Lord. So here's the kicker and his girlfriend on the other sideline. It's not like she has the most confidence in the guy. You can hear her at the end. She's praising God, and she must be religious because you heard Cade York talk about it as well, and they were praying on it and everything. But she's like, thank God, thank the Lord. Like, he's not going to take over for Evan McPherson, but he's on Monday Night Football. He's on a major stage. He's trying out for basically every team in the league, and he was a fourth-round pick, so he must have some sort of strong leg. He must have the physical ability to do it. It's just probably in his head. But anyway, that's a pretty cool story. That the kicker, who's actually a backup kicker who just got signed, he's kicking for the Bengals. They're in Dallas, and his girlfriend is a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader who is secretly rooting for him, but is a cheerleader for the Cowboys. Interesting. All right, let's get to the Caboose Pistol here in a second. I've got a couple of things before the Caboose, and again, these are just random things that I think are interesting, and I'd love to get your viewpoint on. And it is John Lund Unleashed. We're going a little OT today, which is nice, because I told you, the reason I was late today was because by a few minutes, was that there was a lot of stuff to go over today. And I know I probably could have kept some of this stuff. It's not absolutely on fire that I have to do this stuff today, but it was just intriguing to me. So I added more stuff so that we could talk a little bit more. But this has been going on a long time. It's not this is not a new thing. Belichick and his 24-year-old girlfriend, Belichick's looking at the North Carolina job. I really don't think that Belichick has done all this TV and done all these different things that he doesn't generally like to do, but is really good at, to get the North Carolina job, but we'll see. But my point in talking about him today is he's 72, she's 24. And because people respect Belichick in the NFL and in sports so much, this hasn't been brought up a ton, but I'd love to get your thoughts at John Lund Radio on Twitter or X or right here in the chat. Isn't that creepy? Like, am I the only one going, okay, here's 72-year-old Bill Belichick and this 24-year-old girl that is, that's his granddaughter standing right there. Now, look, I'm not the morality police. If you listen to me or watch me with any regularity, which I wish you would, Like, I'm not the morality police, but every time I see a picture of those two together, I just think, that is creepy, man. Like, he's 72. What could they possibly talk about? And I know what you're thinking to yourself. Hey, not bad. Good job, Bill. Like, that's cool, man. I'm not judging. Well, yeah, I am. I am judging. I just think it's creepy. Like, am I wrong? Because everybody loves Belichick, and they talk all sorts of football stuff. And as far as I know, I could be wrong, because McAfee will ask anybody about anything. Like, has McAfee even asked him if they flashed up a picture of his girlfriend? Does anyone ask Belichick? Because I don't think they do. You see pictures of him smiling, you know, and then you see her, and, you know, the first thing you think is, this is creepy. But nobody asks him about it. Like, how's your 24-year-old girlfriend doing? She's great. Thanks for asking. Like, nobody talks about that. I saw this picture this morning, and this guy who, that's a story in and of itself, the Dove Climbing thing, where is this guy real, and what's the whole thing, and people getting mad. But I'm just like, wow, that's creepy, man. And then it's like, Bill has never looked happier. And it's like, Bill has never been creepier. Anyway, just a thought, just a weird thing that's going through my head. I think it's creepy. She's pointing to his old balls. Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. Jacob, that's some weird shit on both sides. It is. Like, could you? I'm sorry that I'm going here, and I'm going to move on, I swear, but give me another 30, 40 seconds. Like, I don't know, like, I'm older than that, and I don't know, like, if I was 25, you know, the term cougar, like, yeah, there's a certain age to where you would say, yeah, I would date a woman of that age, and then there's a certain time where it's like, a 25-year-old guy would not date a 72-year-old woman. I don't think it would happen. I do not think it would happen, would it? I don't know. I look at it. It's just because everybody loves Belichick and the work he's doing and everything, but nobody says, dude, that is kind of creepy that you have a 24-year-old girlfriend. Just saying, like, when they walk into a restaurant, I didn't want to go on a tangent on this. When they walk into a restaurant, don't you think that 99% of the people in there think, well, that's nice. He's taking his granddaughter out for dinner. And then when they go at it and they start kissing each other, it's like, wow, that's kind of inappropriate that the 72-year-old grandpa is sticking his tongue down the 24-year-old girl's, his niece's throat. I'm sorry, that's way too graphic. What time is it? 9:19? You're probably eating going, hey, dude, thanks. I was having pancakes, and now look what you did to me. All right, we're done with Belichick. Thoughts? Money, bro. Yeah, I agree with you. Greg, I agree with you. It's money. It's weird. Yeah, and like I said, people are going to a place Rockin' New Era 84 is going, yeah, it's like, you know, I don't want to see you naked. I don't. Lights on or lights off, honey? Lights off every time and a blindfold. Please. I don't know. Everybody's different. I hope it's true love. But it's just weird, man. Why do you think he's interviewing in the South? Dun-dun-dun. All right, here's one more, and then I'll give you the Caboose story, and you gotta see this Caboose story. So if you're a college football fan at all, and this is where I'm asking you, do you want me to talk about stuff like this or not? But I think this is interesting, intriguing. There's a couple of sides to this whole thing. So this is Ryan Williams. You probably know who it is. He's a freshman wide receiver at Alabama. Was one of the best receivers in the country, let alone freshman receivers in the country. And like college football is nowadays, he is in the transfer portal. Alabama seems to be a great place to go to play college football and to get into the NFL, which this kid's clearly going to do. But he's going to the transfer portal. Why? Because he's going to make money. Somebody's going to offer him more money. Or Alabama's going to step up, some booster there. Hey, what's going on there? Here's $5 million, you know, whatever. That's a bad Alabama impression of a booster. But, you know, or he's going to get more money. So every year, it's just everybody's open for business. There are no contracts. I mean, there are, but it's like, look, I played 1 year. You paid me. Now it's up. Could you imagine if every sport was like that? Hey, I played a year for you. Now I'm free. I can go wherever I want. I mean, college football and college athletics, it's just a wild west. It's crazy. I love the 12-team playoff. I love that players can get paid. I just think that there needs to be contracts or something legally bound. And I know what you're going to say. Coaches can go whenever they want. They have contracts. I get it. There should be some kind of penalty, whatever the case may be. But here's a guy at a powerhouse football school that is like, yep, open for business, want more money, whatever. But that's not really the intriguing part to me. The intriguing part is this. All right, so let me go to this. Shut that down. So that's Ryan Williams' leg. This is a couple of days ago. He's entering the transfer portal. He's looking for millions. Maybe he knows that there's a booster for Alabama that's just going to give him money. He's going to stay there. But you see that on his leg? That's an Alabama A. That's the Alabama logo that he just got put on his leg, and he's leaving the school. Like, I don't know. And again, I got a few tattoos. They mean something to me. The first one I got was stupid, and then, like I said earlier in the show, the GRL is my dad who's passed and my son who's still around. That's good. So, you know, that means something to me, but it's like, I don't know. And again, guys can do whatever they want. I'm telling them what they should do with their body after I just told you that Mad Dog has no business whatsoever telling a guy what kind of job he can take. But this is like a couple of days before high tide. I love that commercial. Good call right there. High tide. But this is like a couple of days before you enter the transfer portal and you're putting an Alabama A on your leg. That was fun. Stayed there for a whole year. I got to get a tattoo on my leg. All right. Do whatever you want. I got a tattoo at 18 and my parents were pissed. We were out on a boat one day, and then we're going to do Caboose, I promise. We were out on a boat one day, and I had forgotten, like after my maybe freshman or sophomore year. And I'm sitting there, and we're on the boat, and we're water skiing that day or something. And I had it on my back, had a tattoo on my back. And my mom lost her shit, was just like, "What are you doing? You're desecrating your body." And she was just losing her mind. I had forgotten, and I'm like, "Oh, no. Can't take my shirt off." Anyway, that's my tattoo story. All right, finally, let's get to the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol. And I told you I would play the open today. I don't have it. I would have been later. I thought about it at like 8:02 this morning. And I thought, well, if I'm any later, they're going to be so mad. They're going to be angry with me. I'm late. That's no good. So anyway, Jacob says, reinstate the sit-out year. Yeah, I mean, they got to do something. It is the Wild West. I don't know if I'd have him sit out, but I would make him sign a contract. Like these guys, like Dylan, the quarterback at Oregon. So he started at Central Florida, went to Oklahoma, went to Oregon. He's about 5'10", 5'11", so he's probably not going to be a high draft pick. Maybe he gets picked in the 7th round, 6th round. Somebody's intrigued by him. Maybe he's a free agent. I don't know. But, you know, he's not going to make a ton of money, at least initial at the NFL level. And so he's making as much money as he can. I completely understand that. But these kids that are like 4 and 5, you know, 4 schools in 4 years, 4 schools in 5 years, whatever the case may be. And it's like, boom, 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 boom. I guess it's free enterprise. And that's what we're based on as a country. And I'm not going to get too deep into this stuff, but it is crazy. All right. Told you Caboose pistol. You're like, dude, you told me Caboose pistol. Can we go to the Caboose pistol? Yes, we can. So here's the story first. This happened in north of Salt Lake City. Sorry, Sandy, which is a suburb of Salt Lake City, north of Salt Lake City. And it says, man drove recently purchased car into Sandy dealership after being denied a return, police say. So that's the story. He bought it earlier. Essentially what happened is he buys the car earlier, drives it around a little bit that same day, finds that it's got some kind of mechanical problem with it. He asks them to return the car. They deny that claim. Now, Utah must be different because I think in California, don't you have a 7-day rule in California? I could be wrong, but I think you have a 7-day rule in California. Anyway, he bought this car the same day, had a mechanical issue. They said, nope, you can't return the car. So he returned the car anyway. I mean, that's crazy. We gotta play that again. Look at this. Wham! Just, I mean, like right through the middle, John Madden be like, wham, blam! I mean, look at that dude. I mean, seriously? Like, I understand, man. You get mad, you get pissed off, you feel like you got ripped off, whatever the case may be, but what does it take to get into the mind and say, you know what I'm gonna do? If you don't take the car back, I'm just gonna ram it right through the front window. And by the way, they interviewed a girl there later. And they really did get lucky. I mean, we're laughing about it, but we can laugh about it now because I don't own the car dealership, but I'm not the guy who rammed the Subaru Forester or whatever that thing was, whatever that wagon is, through the front window. And so it's nothing with me, but there's normally a girl sitting right there, and she was out sick that day. So, of course, the news station ran to her house, and she's like, yeah, I could have been sitting right there. And I don't know that the guy would have bashed it through there if there'd been. But anyway, I don't know if he didn't look, whatever the case may be, but it's like, going through your mind is, if they don't take this car back, I'm bashing it through the front window. And that'll show him. And so obviously he's got all these felony charges against him and all this kind of stuff. There's the news story about it. He's got felonies against him, all this kind of stuff. He's going to jail. I don't know what's going on in his life. That's the one thing. You know, everybody's got weird stuff going on in their life. I have no idea. Maybe he got divorced, lost his job, whatever the case may be. He can't be bashing a car through the window because they won't take it back. I mean, there had to be a way where you, like, sat down with the manager. Come on, man. This is, you know, whatever. Maybe you went home, because I've had this happen. Years and years ago with my first wife, which is one of the reasons why she's my first and ex-wife, is I thought I had a lease coming to an end. It was like a Jeep Grand Cherokee or something. And it was a nice summer day. And I go by the Jeep dealer. I had like 3 months left on the deal. And I go by the Jeep dealer and I see, and this is dirty pool. There's a nice like silver Jeep with the big wheels. And it had the, you know, it's like a T-top. Those just pop right off. And it had the top off of it. And man, I come by that thing and I look in and I stop and I look at that thing and go, man, that is nice. And here's where this guy gets me. He goes, want to go for a test drive? Beautiful day, probably 85, 90 degrees. It's sunny. We pop in this thing. I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking, I am cool. I'm not cool. But it's like, this is awesome. And so we get back and I'm like, nah, man, I can't do this. My wife will kill me. And he's like, oh, we got these terms and you got your Grand Cherokee. And you only got 3 months left on it. I'll give you a screaming deal. This, that. Next thing you know, I'm driving this thing home. I pull up to the house and my wife is like, what are you doing? And we had this conversation. And I don't know how you are in your relationship, but it's like, you know, house, car, Jeep. You know, there are certain decisions that you should, if you respect the other person, you should have a conversation with them. And I think a car falls into that. I could be 100% wrong. You do you. If you can go out and buy a car, a truck, a house, whatever, and you don't have to consult with your significant other, that's cool. I'm not judging any way whatsoever. But when I pulled that thing up, George, my kid, was really, really small, and he's like, cool! And that's really the reaction I was going for. Like, my kid thought it was the coolest thing ever. My wife follows him out there and goes, what the fuck is this? You didn't buy this, right? And I'm like, I went from the euphoria of my son going, I am the coolest man alive, to my wife just bolting outside going, I want to kill you. Her eyes were just like bulging out of her head. But I didn't drive back to the dealership. I was like, what's done is done, man. And I took the wrath, and I think I slept on the couch. We had a two-story, and I think I slept downstairs on the couch for maybe a week. And then she got over it, but it was one of those things where it always lingered. You know, when you'd get in a fight with your significant other. Well, that time you bought the Jeep. I mean, that thing was like forever. It was like, oh, I'm never going to live this down. It was a great Jeep. I loved it. In fact, when I first moved here, I had it. And then I sold it. But it was like, you know, because they're not practical, all those kind of things. But they are awesome when it's nice out. But yeah, I never lived that down. That alone would have me not buy it again. Just because every time we had a disagreement, Jeep. Every time there's a disagreement, Jeep. And you want to be on the other side of that. If there's younger demo people listening, men listening, women listening, you want to be on the other side. You want to have stuff built up in the closet so you can throw the darts. Having the darts thrown at you is not fun. And she always had that on me. And so I was always like, God, I wish I wouldn't have done it just for that, just so she didn't have the leverage over me. You know what I mean? Anyway, man, we've got a long time today. But I told you, we had a lot to go over today. The update, the social media. We did Trade 13, which a lot of people, just go back to it and give it a chance. Just saying. Debo going public. MLB rumors, which I love. Mad Dog, how could you leave the Yankees? I mean, it's just the craziest thing. Warriors trade rumors, which include a couple of names that they're okay. Cam Johnson would be the best one out of there, but I'm not giving up Kuminga for Cam Johnson. Monday Night Football Madness with the blocked punt that actually won the game for the Bengals. The weird thing with Cade York and the Dallas Cowboys cheerleader we talked about, Bill Belichick, 72. It's creepy that he's got a 24-year-old girlfriend. Ryan Williams, the wide receiver for Alabama, entering the transfer portal, but just days before getting a big, giant Alabama A on his leg, and the caboose pistol in which the guy ran the Subaru through the front window. There it is again. There's the guy. Nice job. That's not gonna age well. So anyway, did we miss anything today? And thank you, as always, for tuning in on a Tuesday. We actually went like almost an hour and a half today, but we had a lot of stuff to go over. Anything else we missed in the chat today? Questions, comments? If I had a dollar every time, I know, I got to quit doing that, Greg. You're right. Is that annoying? Or are you saying that that's an annoying way? Because, again, I'm taking feedback here, man. If you don't like it, I'm not going to bring it up anymore. but it probably is going to get me in trouble with my current wife. That's probably true. So anyway, I'll quit doing that if it's annoying to everybody. Great day today on a Tuesday. Had a great day. I hope you had a great day hanging out. Do remember, we'll be getting more guests on the show. I was with Larry Kruger last night. You can go back and watch that. I actually mirrored that broadcast, so I put it on my YouTube page. So if you want to check it out, at John Lund Unleashed Pod, please tell all your friends. Subscribe to the podcast as well. So we got the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. So if you missed any of the show today, where the hell were you, bro? If you missed any of the show today, what I'll do is I will right after this post that so you can listen to it in your car or however you like to listen to it. Please tell all your friends and to have them subscribe to at John Lund Unleashed Pod on YouTube, the podcast itself. I always take questions, comments, thoughts at John Lund Radio is the best way, Twitter and X, to follow me. And I will get back to you as soon as possible. Any of the comments that you put after the show, so if you watch the show afterwards, hit some comments down there below. I will respond to comments as well. So however you want to do it is great with me. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday at 8 a.m. Tell all your friends, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. That's great. I loved hanging out with you today. Greg, tell me, is that annoying? The ex-wife stuff, is that annoying? Thanks for hanging out on a Tuesday. Hope you have a tremendous day. We will talk at you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Anything breaks, especially when it comes to Giants news with the winter meetings, I will jump on here and you and I can have a conversation like we did Saturday. I think that's going to do it. Happy Tuesday. John Lund Unleashed. See you later.